and I thought I would. I was not really prepared to see all the devotees are there. We have, by the way, a nice program on when we go to Vishvadev, where we have a home program. I think it's a Monday at 5 o'clock. Yes. So do you all understand when I speak in the sweet English language? Somehow. Good. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Bhagavad-gita. What? Yes. For me, when we sit together and chant together, it is an activity which has two aspects. One aspect is that we sing as a community of devotees who are in the temple glorifying Krishna together. So it is a communal activity. But while we do something as this group of maybe 30 or 35 devotees or how whatever is the number, while this is going on, that we do something together, there is another dimension of kirtan which is most properly even more important, and that is that we turn together as individuals to Krishna. This doing something as a group together, but also doing an individual activity of bhakti, was always very nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada. He said when birds fly together in a formation, like they do at this time of the year when they come back from Africa and fly to the north, maybe Scandinavia, some stay in Germany. All these birds may be together in a group, but still they are flying alone. When they are up in the air, up in the sky, they all have to take care that they remain in the sky, that they are strong enough to brace the wind which comes from the front or from the side, and that they overcome whatever dangers are there, like storms or rain, on their own, really. So kirtan has these two aspects. It's an aspect where we sing together and certainly support each other. Therefore, kirtan is easier than individual meditation or japa meditation. But it also has this, let me say, this aspect where each one of us turns to Krishna, where each one of us flies, so to say, on his or her own. And I think when these two elements come together, the magic of kirtan happens. When it is a group activity where we support each other with our singing, we hear each other, but we are also on our own turning to Krishna. That aspect where these two elements come together. You cannot find in worldly music, but in spiritual music, or kirtan, singing together, these can be found. Then amazing discoveries can be done. I think all of us know from visits to big temples, like for instance in Vrindavan or anywhere else, that during the ceremonies or Arctic celebrations, there's an ocean of humanity, especially in India, so many people. But still, although you are surrounded by many people, when you turn to the altar, offer your obeisances, offer your prayers, you also have the feeling that you are now together with Krishna. You are now in his shelter. You are now his guest. I really want to encourage you that during the kirtan, which we do now, we will practice these two almost opposed concepts and bring them together. I will be talking today. I thought that I should do this about the central activity of our Krishna conscious practice, that is the chanting of the holy names, both in kirtan and in japa. I think when we are healthy in this practice, that we can chant the holy name and feel the presence of Krishna, our life becomes tolerable, so to say, in this world. I'm saying tolerable because at the moment, you know, life in this world always goes up and down, up and down. At the moment, it's for me physically difficult because I just had a very difficult tooth invasion, dental procedure, and I'm still recovering from it. So, but it does matter when you are facing Krishna or when you are together with Krishna. He gives you the strength to go through all the situations which life puts before you. But if you lose Krishna out of sight, it can become quite overwhelming at times. So let us please do this Krishna conscious kirtan. Padaya. You can please join me. Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitiramine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Sadarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Krishna
Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
The last time we try everyone together as if we really mean it.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Krishna, Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nithi Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vaskratya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Pravinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One moment, I will just when I came here by the train, I met one professor who was riding on the same train with us, and we were sitting in different rows of the train, but our destination, our point of destination, the Frankfurt Airport, was the same. So when we left the train, which ended there, we spoke with each other. I said, when you came into the train, you brought so much energy with you. He said, that's very physical. I was late with the train, and I came by bicycle to do some sports. So I drove really fast to catch the train, and maybe when I came in, that energy of driving my bicycle was the energy which you noticed. By the way, who are you? You are, I can see you are a monk from your dress. Who are you? Oh, I said, I'm Sachinandan Swami. Since a long time giving lectures all over the world. And oh, interesting! And what will be your subject? Yes, I said, I will go to a community which I know very well. I stayed there, and I will give a lecture called The Art of Transformation. Oh, yes, he said, that's really interesting. I just gave my son a book on, what is it? Die Ökonomie des Umweltwohls. The Ecology or Economy of the Common Good. Das Allgemeinwohles. Wie war das? Die Ökonomie des Allgemeinwohles. The Economy of the Common Good. He said, see, we live in a capitalistic time. Money and might is too much centralized, and when there will be problems, our whole system will collapse because it's not distributed equally. There are many empty spaces. So we need to think differently. We need to now empower individuals instead of seeing that only a few people concentrate in their own pocket or the money and the might. We need to transform our society. I said, that's very interesting. But my approach is different to transformation. I start always inside. I think we need to transform the hearts, because if we just transform the system but the hearts remain the same, then there will be the same trouble emerging after a few decades. Like we have seen in communism, we have changed the system, and we wanted the common good. That was the idea, to empower and give the might and the strength back to the worker who produces capital. But because the heart was not really changed, people in the new system made the mistakes of the old system. They became selfish, they became a few people, or a group of people collected the money and the might in their own pockets. So changing the system is no solution. You need to change the heart and the system. And he said, wow, can I invite you into my university class? I said, it will be very difficult because I have very little time in my life. I'm using all my free time to write on a life school. But we can definitely try. And then I can see if I have a few minutes, a few hours time when I travel. I will send you some thoughts on this, some more thoughts on this, and then you can yourself give the lecture which you want me to give to the people in your classrooms. What I want to say to all of you is there maybe an area in your life where you feel it is necessary to change your heart? I'm serious. Is there an area left? Are you satisfied with the life which you live at the present moment? Do you feel you have reached the fulfilling end of the journey of your life? Or is there something where you feel we need to look at it, we need to change that so that we can make further advancement and progress in our life beyond the point which we have reached? I think when we ask such a question, everyone will have his individual answer. You will certainly have your individual answer. But if you wish to change something, I found something in the Shastras which you might like to look at and see if it is applicable to your own situation. Presented this. I don't have the graphic now with me, the idea is that life, our life, always goes in dynamic waves. Sometimes, the days which we have, there's day, then comes the night, then again comes the next morning, and the day evolves from the morning and the night comes. There are such rhythmical changes also in our well-being. Sometimes we are strong, and when the winter is too long, we develop sometimes a few illnesses like infections. Our life is strong, weak, strong, weak. Sometimes we are concentrated, sometimes we are finding it hard to concentrate on anything. We are in good spirits, we are in bad spirits. We are born, and we die, and we are born again, die again. Now, the life in this world follows a certain rhythmical pattern which can be very much compared with a wave. Therefore, some philosophies speak of the wave of life. Sometimes you're up in a wave and sometimes you're down. This is the rhythm, and it is a natural rhythm. It is something which is natural. And both is equally good. When we are up, yes, we feel well, strong, healthy, active, dynamic. When the phase in our life comes where we approach what we could call a still point, a point where nothing really moves so much any longer, then, we could turn in two ways. We could become depressed and sorry, but we could also see it as a unique opportunity to discover new possibilities in our life. There was once a guru, and a man came to him who was very troubled. His health was not good. There was a breakup in a relationship. Someone had died in his family also. Everything came together. And he came to this guru and said, "Can you help me? I'm facing so many challenges." The guru said, "Bring me 2 pots of boiling water." So after some, it was a little difficult where to find the pots. But after some time he came back with pots of real hot water, boiling hot. The guru took one piece of, we call it chapati, others would call it bread, and threw it into the first pot. And immediately the chapati broke and fell into pieces. The guru said, "That's how most people are. When there are difficulties and challenges, when life brings them to the bottom of the wave, they break. But I will show you another possibility." And he took a herb. Eine Pfefferminzkraut vielleicht, oder Salbei, a herb, and he threw it into the second pot of boiling water. And immediately the water released a very refreshing fragrance. The etheric oils were freed and came out. The guru said, "That's how only a few people deal with difficulties. But this is the more mature way. That you go inside of you at that time and ask this question. Is there possibility for me to change something in my heart?" And once a person, especially on the spiritual path, or who's either very much or loosely connected with spirituality, understands this, that in the boiling water of my life, when I'm in that area of where change I have one opportunity. I have one human freedom. I can actually make choices now. How I will think and how I will desire. I may not always have choices to change my circumstances, but I can change my heart, my attitude, my thinking, my consciousness. I can take the chapati way or I can take the herbal way. I can either break or I can bring out that inherent freedom which we all always possess, the freedom to make choices and change my life for the better. This I thought was a very nice thought. We have a problem how to make an educated choice. I need to tell you something from the scriptures which is really inspiring. When the wave of life goes in this direction, then we come to a point which we could call the still point. My old life, my old ways have come to a standstill. I'm now thinking, because it seems always I'm the first and sometimes the only one who sees, who hears what is outside. Is there another way we can, that people on the corridor can maybe they should talk, but we have other rooms for them which are much more comfortable, with chairs even, and so on. But give them an alternative. That's very important. Not just tell them to go. That's not nice. The still point is a very good point, which is a point which has a very, very great advantage over the active point, the point where things are going and running and life is very demanding and very full. The still point is a point where the old things, the old patterns have broken down. It's still now. Normal life is like the young, our young guests, they must come from London. They are always very thoughtful, according to my experience. Life is very busy, like in a high street. But if I come to the still point where it's not so busy, my life is not cluttered, it's not overcrowded, it's not filled with all the normal distractions which are normally there. I'm actually now free. I have created a space in thinking and a space for acting in a new way. That still point, however, is often a point with no energy. And this needs to be changed. I need to put somehow at that phase of my life, when I'm in the still point, I need to put spiritual energy into it, which will then bring me and carry me from this gap, so to say, diese Lücke in meinem Leben, die entstanden ist. It will be able to carry me forward. And it is here where I think the movement for Krishna consciousness and its philosophy is very, very good and very much needed, in fact. If you want to, if you join a spiritual movement to live there, it's not so easy because there is not so much money, there are not so many opportunities, there are not so many, you know, we are all not very, there's not a big concentration of wealth. But what there is there you can find there a wonderful practice, a spiritual practice, which for those who feel dissatisfied with their material life and with their, let me say, their the way they live their life, and who are in the still point, can give them the energy to come to the to another phase in their life, the phase where they discover entirely new possibilities. But, you know, if I may give this analogy again, when you hear, you need something to come up from this low point, this point of less energy, and something that changes and empowers your heart. And here we come to what I consider the greatest gift of the Hare Krishna movement to its members and to human society. We come to a powerful sadhana, a spiritual practice, which when it is learned and practiced properly, you have to learn it properly and practice it properly, otherwise it cannot work on you. Then it can carry, give you the energy to come out of the still point into the point of all possibilities. You might ask, well, you speak about the Hare Krishna mantra, we guess. Yeah, that's correct. I speak about the holy names of the Lord. You might say, what gives them the strength to move me from a inert state to a state of a lot of possibilities? Well, what gives it the strength is Krishna, or God, gives it the strength. Patanjali, the great master of yoga, explains that the names of Ishvara have a certain power, because Ishvara means is the name of God, has given his own strengths into these holy names, and they are identical with him in all ways. And then he gives an example. You may have iron, which is cold and not flexible, but when you put the iron into fire, it becomes hot and it becomes filled with fire and it becomes flexible even. So the names of the Lord are sound vibrations, but but the Lord has put his own transcendental energy into these names, like the fire which has come into the iron, and therefore, if you so want, the names are fireized, or you could say say they are godized. They're full of God. It's full of the divine presence of the Lord. Now, as we chant, these divine names, after a short time, we will notice that our mind will take us out of the chanting. I was just thinking when you give a lecture, your audience sits up to a certain moment, and then all of a sudden there is something in the mind happening to some people which tells them you must now leave the lecture and take care of something. Many times these are very good reasons. I don't want to say that's not my point. It's the mind comes. We don't know why the person leaves the lecture, but there came an idea which we can't see, and the idea is now moving that person out of the lecture. So that happens when we chant also with our own mind. We are sitting there and we are focusing on the sound vibration, but all of a sudden the mind comes and it takes us out of the train, so to say. The chanting can be compared with a vehicle, a yantra, no? The Sanskrit word for it is an upaya, a means, and it carries us when we remain absorbed in the chanting of the holy name. But when we leave it again, when our mind leaves it, it's almost like jumping out of the train which is driving. Nothing will happen. It's not dangerous. Spiritually, it is maybe dangerous, but you will not break your bones or anything. So this is something which we have to observe as a simple entry rule to chant properly. We must somehow stay with the mantra to an extent that we have nothing else in our mind. I would like to make a little experiment with you. It's a simple monosyllable mantra which is imbued with this, with a very powerful strength. It's the mantra Ram, just Ram. It is said this mantra, it is used in ancient times when the human being wants to connect with the higher levels of existence where the Lord is present. So I would like to make an experiment with the mantra Ram. I want you to sit properly. You have to hit the right vibration, my dear devotee. It's not so easy. So I will chant. I want you to relax a little bit. First of all, I know some of you have a difficult week and the mind is still trying to arrive here in this practice. So just take a few relaxed breaths. Be relaxed, huh? Do a deep inhale and a deep exhale. Deep inhales, conscious inhales, deep exhales. When you exhale, try to empty your mind a little bit of the thoughts and feelings which you might now have. Let it just go. The tension. I will now chant the syllable Ram one time alone, and then we will all chant it together. And your task will be to only be with Ram. Nothing more, nothing less. Whenever the mind wanders, bring it back to Ram. Deep inhale. Everyone, please. Deep inhale.
Ram, 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 Ram,
Chanting, when we stop doing it out of a mechanical habit, we very easily arrive at a still point. It's a very good point. It's a spiritual still point. And if you can come to this point, where your mind is a little empty, where you have emptied it of so many other things and brought it together totally with the mantra, made it one with the mantra, at that time you will discover a life of all possibilities. Enter, you will discover also that there is unexpected help from above. I thank you very much. I have come to the end of my presentation. It was a pleasure to sing with you. Please excuse me. Old age is coming. What? This will be another still point, coming to the point of death one day, not so soon. And then there are so many possibilities which I'm looking forward. But you have to bring the mind to this still point. Otherwise you will be able to maybe change something outside, but you won't change your life. Just change the different circumstances. Those of you who live here in Goloka Dham, I do not know if there is enough space, but I guess so. You might like to phone Vishwadev, who's our host, on Monday at 5 o'clock. And it would be my great pleasure to see you all and continue from where we will leave off here and now. I wish you a wonderful, good appetite for your Sunday feast. All the best and Hare Krishna.